she has, you know, no breasts, and she has no women parts, and she still has to shave her face, or at least her neck. But those are things that the Lord has given grace, and he's given me the ability to look past that. And it's not a big thing when the Lord gives you that ability.
Hartelijk welkom bij de podcast van Bijbelsberaad Man-Vrouw. Ik ben hier samen met Laurens van der Tang. Laurens is voorzitter van Bijbelsberaad Man-Vrouw. En mijn naam is Bart-Jan Spruit en ik ben als lector aan Bijbelsberaad Man-Vrouw verbonden. En vandaag spreken we met Perry Smoltz. En we vinden het fijn dat u luistert. Perry Smoltz is de echtgenoot van Laura Perry. Ze wonen in Oklahoma in de Verenigde Staten. En de echtgenote van Perry, Laura, is in Nederland ook bekend geworden door een boek dat ze heeft geschreven. Dat boek heet Een Transgender Komt Thuis, dat in het Engels in 2018 is verschenen en dat in 2023 door ons is vertaald. En hierin beschrijft Laura haar levensloop. Ze wilde op een gegeven moment geen vrouw meer zijn en na een lichamelijke transitie en een naamsverandering ging zij als man door het leven. En ze woonde samen met een vrouw die ook als man leefde. Maar God zette haar stil en zij raakte ervan overtuigd dat haar nieuwe lichaam haak stond op het lichaam dat God haar had gegeven. Ze ging dus in detransitie. Ze draaide haar transitie terug. Met haar boek en andere publicaties en via lezingen willen Laura Perry en haar man Perry Smoltz, onze gast van vandaag, niet alleen mensen helpen die het te stellen hebben met genderdysforie, maar ook mensen die om hen heen staan. En ze hebben een ministry en die ministry heet Eden's Redemption. Perry Smoltz en zijn vrouw Laura Perry waren recent in Nederland, waar ze op uitnodiging van Bijbelsberaad Man-Vrouw in gesprek gingen met ouders die te maken hebben met kinderen die in transitie willen en waar ze op een congres in de Cunera-kerk in Renen allebei een lezing hebben gegeven. Laurens.
Perry, great to have you here.
Ah, good to be here.
When Laura's book was published, there were some chapters that were not yet written. We leave her in the book as a single person. Mm-hmm. And then you came into the picture later. So we don't know you as well as we think that we know Laura. Tell us a little bit about your life story. Who are you? How have you grown up? And then we'll talk later about how you met Laura.
I was born in Oklahoma and raised there in southwestern Oklahoma. And I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor. He preached in several churches there in southwestern Oklahoma. And we went to church every time the church was open. So I had a very strong biblical background. Since I was 20, I've been on staff at a church somewhere in Oklahoma, either full-time or part-time. The last time was about 17 years in a church there in Oklahoma City. And I was bivocational, which means I have a full-time secular job working in insurance, but I was also the worship leader and pastor, associate pastor, there at the church where I served there in Oklahoma City. But building God's kingdom, doing ministry has always been a very important part of my life. I don't have a degree in seminary, but I've taken several classes in seminary, and the Word of God is very important to me in my life. So I'm excited about the opportunities we have to minister through this this Eden's Redemption ministry.
You were married before your wife passed away. Mm-hmm. You told us, and then at some point, Laura came into your life.
Did you read her book in 2018?
Before I met her, I didn't have time to read her book before I met her because there was not enough time before it. But some friends told me about her background, and I thought it was very interesting about how the Lord so radically changed her life, you know, by the grace of God. And but I went online and I tried to find out a few things about her before we met for the first time. But some people ask, was it hard to date someone or marry someone ultimately that had that transgender lifestyle?
Yes, that would be one of our questions. It's maybe difficult or new, entirely new experience.
Or other people maybe wouldn't even have want to meet her for the first time.
I think that's true for a lot of people. There were maybe some people could be afraid to do that. But the Lord gave me a peace about it and about dating her. Here's the thing, I was going through a process over time after, you know, I was single, I was waiting for God to open up the opportunity for me to date someone. My prayer was, Lord, send somebody to me who will be, I would like to get married, but if not, it's okay. I don't have to get married. I'm not desperate. So I want somebody that will
you
be...
You didn't look for a woman?
I dated some, but I was not worried about it. It was not something that was I had to do that to make my life complete, because God is the one that makes our life complete. So I was asking for, Lord, please find somebody that will be on the same team with me, that will be willing to go in the same direction with me. Because if you have a man and a wife going in two different directions, it will not work. It will not work. So the Lord blessed me by introducing me to Laura.
And what attracted you most in her, if I may ask that very impertinent question?
Mm-hmm. I was attracted to, she's very beautiful, of course, but not only outside beauty, but inward beauty. You know by being around Laura that she's got the joy of the Lord. And after getting to talk with her and hearing her heart, I was attracted to that her love of God and her desire. She was already in ministry. And her desire was to build God's kingdom, to build the church. And eventually the Lord gave us peace that he had put us together. He's the one that put us together.
But both of you were very mature people, of course.
Yes.
From an age perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you had a lot of experience already with struggles in life.
Mm-hmm.
Your characters are shaped by that. So, you know, then it requires something almost extraordinary to then, you know, become one as a couple, in the sense that you really, you know, work well together.
Yes.
Was it difficult to get there? Was it more difficult than usual to get there, you think?
Than usual. Well, I think it was easier maybe than, you know, in a way it was easier to date her, because if you date somebody that is not right for you, you discover that, and it's better to cut that off if you know that it's not going in the right direction. One of the things about Laura that person that she once was no longer exists. When Christ came into her heart, when she surrendered her life to Christ, that old person disappeared. The old person disappeared and a new person was born.
Well, pushback, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's true. And it's not true as well. There's an old man and there's a new man.
Mm.
Even when you are born again, there's still the old self that every now and then pops up and is wrestling with the new man. And I assume you and Laura are no different in that perspective. So are there some particular challenges, therefore, that you had in your relationship, and how have you overcome these?
So she came from, she came out in her history out of some very bad relationships, some ungodly relationships. And in some way, she had developed some resistance to trusting somebody. And it took a process, I believe, for her to realize that I could be trusted, as opposed to a lot of the relationships she had in the past. But the Lord gave me patience, and He continues to give me patience. Realizing that that it's a process to grow in that trust and that relationship. So, and then she's also had some health problems, I think, related to some of the testosterone, the surgeries. Huh. You know, she has, you know, no breasts. And she has no women parts. And she still has to shave her face, or at least her neck. But those are things that the Lord has given grace, and He's given me the ability to look past that. And it's not a big thing when the Lord gives you that ability. So, of course, there's struggles, just like any marriage. There are struggles as far as when you're new married, you think that everything's going to be perfect forever. But I would say for the most part, we're growing closer together in the middle of the struggles. Maybe because of the struggles, you know, her insecurities with her body. I've been able to encourage her that I do accept her as she is, not only her body, but, her past.
And what have you learned from her?
You know, she, what have I learned from her? She helps me so much, you know. Let me give you an example. And sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's not always the deepest things. She is very good at getting things done quickly. And I'm the opposite. I'm more deliberate. Mm. And so we help balance each other out in ways like that. I can see how over time God has put us together to complement each other. I have weaknesses that she's stronger in, and I've got strengths that she's weak in. And it's a wonderful thing to see how the Lord has put us together. And we work, like I said, we work as a team doing ministry together.
Yeah. So after your marriage with Laura, you decided together to start a ministry? Is that how it worked?
Yes. So I can't remember how long. I think maybe Laura had been under the umbrella of a different ministry. She was doing ministry work under the team in Oklahoma City, probably a couple years. 4 years is what she says. And we felt led by the Spirit that maybe it was time for her and for me to move and have our own ministry. But it was a step of faith, because we don't have the security, the financial security that she had under that other ministry that was, you know, more established. It was established for many years. So we decided, we had the, everything was ready. And I think I mentioned this last night. We had the accounts ready. We had the website ready. We had everything, except we could not find a name for the ministry. And we wanted to call it Created for Eden. But that, because we believed that everybody was created for a perfect place, a perfect garden. And but that name was taken, Created for Eden. And so we wrestled, we prayed, and almost as in, birth, you know. And the Lord, he brought to our attention, he said, you are building a ministry where for people that don't know who they are. And they're looking for their identity in all the wrong places. And the one thing that you can't come up with is a name for the ministry. And that is everyone that we serve. They don't know who they are. They feel the pain, and the pain is real, but they don't know why. And so that's what Eden's Redemption is about. So
what's your vision for Eden's Redemption? Is it to the extent that you could say that, but do you think it will continue to be a Laura and Barry missionary? Or would you see other people joining the mission as well with similar stories? You're now in the Netherlands. Is that the beginning of the European rollout, so to say? or is that just a stepping stone to even further continents? Is there any dream that the two of you have about how this could or should develop, or do you just let it happen?
You know, we're doing our best to be led by the Spirit. And the Lord, I wish that the Lord sometimes would just give us his itinerary for the next few years, but then we would not have to have faith. So far, Laura has been able to speak in most of the states in the United States, and the last 8 years, on average, I would say about two times or maybe three times a month, she has, you know, traveled to some state in the United States.
Invited by?
By ministry leaders to speak at churches and in conferences. And she's been interviewed by many radio and television stations. And she's been on many blogs. This last year, I believe it was the first time. Now, she had been to Mexico a couple times, but last year we were invited to go to Chile. And so we had a couple weeks that we ministered in Chile. It seems like the Lord is starting to open up foreign ministry now. And we went to Spain, and then we went back to Mexico. This year we've come to your wonderful country. Later this year, we're going to Taiwan. She has just signed a contract to translate her book into Chinese. So that's exciting. And the thing is, we're not forcing this agenda. The Lord just opens those opportunities. We're being asked to do this. And we pray about, should we go that direction? Should we not go that direction? And it's an adventure.
So there is no business plan for where you want to be in the next 5 years or so?
The Lord is our business plan. Now, we part of it depends upon Laura's health. She's had some, like I said, she's had some health problems that limit what she's able to do sometimes. But Sometimes the Lord may give us more long-range plans, but I think that he tests our faith when he doesn't give us all the details. He just gives us, go this step and this step. And if we follow each step where God wants us to be, eventually we'll end up where we should be. So,
you have been in the Netherlands over the past few days.
Yes.
You met people. You attended some church services on Sunday, even in a very traditional Reformed church. You had the meetings with the parents. You were in Rhenen in the Kunira Kerk, where the two of you also spoke. Share some of your impressions over the past few days.
You know, I think that the Netherlands is a beautiful country. It's a beautiful, there are beautiful trees and the flowers. The country itself is a beautiful country. And I've found that the people are very beautiful as well. I enjoy the going into different cultures and learning how people serve the Lord in their world, in their culture. So I enjoyed the worship service. And even though I was trying to follow along, I don't understand the language completely, but we had an excellent interpreter that was speaking in our ear.
So it was a good sermon?
It was a good sermon about Stephen.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I thought it was interesting that he spoke about Stephen, because in our devotional the previous week we were reading in the same passages about Stephen. And I thought, well, that cannot be a coincidence. I think the Lord was preparing us for that sermon, which was so good.
And was there something in the sermon that then also spoke to you, something that you may have not yet thought about before coming here, and now, he was sharing this thought and it really meant something to you?
Yeah, it's just a reminder of how bold Stephen was in the face of persecution, and which is maybe appropriate for this culture, because I know some new laws are being passed. We may have to think about the example of Stephen, who was willing to tell the truth even though he was persecuted.
Yeah.
I think it's appropriate.
Okay.
What do you think? What is needed to be ready as Christians for more persecution?
What does it take to persevere?
Well, it doesn't. I don't think that the preparation comes from the outside of us. It's going to come from inside of us, from God. God is the only one that can prepare us for any persecution that comes along. And we have to be consistent in our devotion to God, in our relationship with the Lord, reading the Word of God daily to find out what does He expect of us. How, when there is so much deception and darkness in the world, how will we know what is truth and what is not truth? If somebody that specializes in counterfeit money wants to know if the money is counterfeit, they don't study all the different varieties of counterfeit. What they do, they study the real thing, the truth, the real currency so well, so clearly. They're so familiar with it. It's just part of their life that when they finally see something that is counterfeit, they immediately recognize that it's false, that it's not right. That's what we've got to do, is have our foundation in the Word of God and in prayer. And the Lord will give us wisdom. The Lord will give us the power. He's our source. Jesus is our truth. And we've got to not lean upon our understanding when it comes to persecution. We've got to lean upon the Lord more and more.
One more question, if I may. Mm-hmm. Especially in the US, I think, but to a degree in the Netherlands as well, there is something that people call a culture war. And it's easy from a Christian perspective to see the LGBTQ community as the enemy. And to a degree they are driven by, you know, spirits and thoughts and convictions that are not biblical. But then at the same time, they are human beings with a soul created for eternity. So how do we relate to this whole movement in a way that you think is a, you know, is what do we need to do? How should we approach them?
We do need to recognize that we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the spiritual world. It's a spiritual world warfare. There's, you know, we are told that as we get closer to the end times, when Christ will come back with it, you know, there will be darker times. People will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. We're seeing that. We should expect it and even expect persecution. I think we need to recognize that the people that are in those lifestyles, they're spiritually blind. They can't see what we see. They don't know what we know. They're desperately looking for answers for their life. That's why they go into those lifestyles, too, because they're hurting, they're broken, and they think they want a solution. They want something to fix themselves. And Satan will point out our problems, but he will give us false solutions that people will believe. People are believing lies. So we need to have compassion for those people. We need to ask the Lord to give us wisdom and patience with those people. It will not be automatic. You know, if we need to pray for people over a long period of time and ask the Lord to plant seeds of truth into their lives. And nothing is too difficult for the Lord. We've got to be the salt. We've got to be the light in the dark world. We can't shrink back into the shadows and hope that things get better. We've got to stand up and stand up for the truth and be bold.
Well, Laura said she's ready to get into jail. Are you as well?
Well, not today, but I'm willing to. I'm willing to go to jail. Hmm. I won't be running toward the jail door. But if God calls us to say something, if the Lord leads us to stand up for truth, if we don't tell the truth to the world that believes a lie, how will they ever know what the truth is? We've got to love people enough to take that risk.
Yeah, and I guess we should never think we can do this in our own power.
Oh.
Because we are such a heroes, or because we know the truth so well, or whatever. It will be always in his power.
I must decrease, he must increase.
Okay. Those are very good last words. Thank you very much, Perry, for your time and for your story and for your testimony here. And we wish you, together with your wife, all the best.
Oh, thank you very much.
Perry, thank you so much. We asked some unexpected questions, but nevertheless, you gave very open answers to these questions. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Ja, en we willen ook u bedanken, beste kijkers, luisteraars, dat u bij ons was tijdens dit gesprek. Het is misschien goed om te weten dat van het boek van Laura Perry, Een Transgender Komt Thuis, binnenkort de derde druk verschijnt, zodat het weer beschikbaar is in uw lokale boekwinkel. De lezingen die Perry en Laura onlangs in Renen hebben gehouden in de Cunera-kerk zijn op het YouTube-kanaal van Bijbelsberaad terug te zien. We vinden het fijn dat u naar deze podcast hebt geluisterd. Als de Heer het geeft, gaan we vaker dit soort podcasts opnemen. Dus u hoort nog van ons.